The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Helping to protect Watson. Under a rush, he hits Randall Cobb for the touchdown. Catch and run for Cobb. And the Texans take the lead.
It is astounding, Deshaun Watson. First and goal, handoff. Johnson cuts to the outside. Touchdown. Shotgun. Roethlisberger. Rainbow. Touchdown. Eric Ebron. Beautiful connection. Big Ben to his tight end from the 26. Rush. Step up. Wide open. Roethlisberger to Juju Smith-Schuster for a walk-in touchdown. Nobody was there from the 14. Watson lofts it. Touchdown! Will Fuller! Scintillating from Watson. Third and 15. Deep drop. Watson weaving. Watson sets it up downfield. The heave is intercepted. Mike Hilton comes away with it. And the Texans turn it over. Second and 6. Connor again. Connor cuts it upfield. Head of steam to the end zone. Touchdown, Steelers. Fake and toss. They convert it. He hits Juju Smith-Schuster. And it's 28-21 Steelers in the fourth.
Bill, I'm just curious, what are some of the positives that you guys are going to take from this past game to the Knicks? I mean, you guys did have a strong first half.
Yeah, I think they're it stinks when you have to talk about positives after you lose a game, but there are positives. And you're right, we played pretty good complementary football in the first half. Obviously we've played three really good teams. We're not there yet. We didn't win any of those games, but feel like we've definitely improved, and we need to try to, play 60 minutes of that type of football. I think if we play 60 minutes of that type of football, we can win. But we got to get it going here very quickly. Like I said last week, we got to get it going.
Sports, 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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Positives? We talking about positives? I couldn't find any.
That's all right. Maybe AJ can, because he's Mr. Positive. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, Lord Voldemort, if you want to get in. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, if you so desire, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and you can comment on there, you can listen on the breaks, and it's a Monday. And, boy, I sure feel like this show's going to be like almost every other show we do after a Texans game, AJ.
Groundhog Day. Hello.
Positives. I want to hear the positives.
Do you?
Help me out.
It's not hot outside.
No, it's wonderful outside.
You're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, it's a light hoodie, but still. I've been waiting for hoodie day, so this is a big day. Getting my hair cut tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Look at you.
So there's that.
By a stylist or a barber?
I don't know. It's a new place by me, and I like to try to do business in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I just made an online appointment, so I'll let you know how it turns out.
You made an online appointment. It's almost certainly a styling salon.
I think it says it's a multicultural salon, so I'm kind of curious what that means. So I'm guessing it's a stylist.
That probably means, yeah, it's probably a hair styling place that specializes in doing the hair of black women. Because that is apparently a challenge to in the haircutting world.
I see. Well, I know they do that, but I know they do a lot of stuff.
I'll be honest. I think like if they can make something with many different cultures, then they can probably take care of yours.
I hope so.
That's good. Yeah, that's
the half Arabic, half white guy culture.
I would think to be a multicultural salon, they would have to be very experienced, and it's not an easy task. So that's maybe you've made a good choice. Well, we'll find out this time tomorrow.
We will know tomorrow, and the reviews on the place are great. And like I said, I love to try places that are, it's only a couple blocks from me, so I love to try to do business around my neighborhood. So we'll see what happens. And if it works out great, then I can say nice things about them on air. And if it doesn't, then you can make fun of me, and I won't mention them.
I hope you come to work tomorrow with cornrows. To be honest, that's my.
I know that's what you're hoping for. Not going to happen.
I don't expect it
to be too different, because I'm not, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. It's one of those things that I'll decide when I get there, and I'll probably ask their advice.
Okay.
And we'll see.
And they're going to give you cornrows.
If they do, they do.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Cornrows or a mullet. I haven't decided. One of the two.
I mean, well, it seems like you have decided.
I kind of have sort of a mullet look going.
It's not a mullet look. It's a mullet.
Well, not quite yet. It's almost a mullet. You got to really get it short on the top, and then.
I mean, it's not like your hair's. You're not Fabio up top. I mean, no. it's growing in, but it's not like. It's definitely much longer in the back than it is in the front.
True.
That's a mullet.
I don't know technically what the definition of mullet is.
Aaron. let's break the tie here. Does Fred have a mullet?
Yeah, business in the front, party in the back.
It's official, Fred. You're a mullet guy.
See, I thought there was more to it. I thought the top had to be done a certain way, and then it's really long in the back.
No, you could have like a flat top mullet. That's like next level, but you just have like a regular basic mullet. Right,
well, if I stick with mullet, then it's not going to be just a regular basic mullet. We're going to have to make it something special.
You know, Jacksonville Jaguar fan mullet?
I don't know. I'll go Joe Dirt, maybe. I don't know.
Skullet. Like where you shave off everything on top and just leave the back flowing.
I might do that like Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I might do that. We'll see.
But you just had that hair guy. You just had fixed.
I mean, yeah, but it's,
once you cut, like it's. But the way you got it fixed, like you could cut it and it'll grow back, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's all
good. But I figured you would want to like enjoy it for at least a year before you go.
Dude, I've had this for a year. It's been a year since I had it done.
Now's the time to go with a Hulk Hogan skullet. If there's ever been a time.
I mean, Halloween's right around the corner.
It's not going to be that, but it's. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Hell yeah, brother.
But you'll have something to make fun of tomorrow.
Hulk Hogan sounds oddly like the Baytown Badass.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Virginia says Fred needs hair like Spencer Rattler. You want to talk about a guy who does not fit your handsome quarterback thing?
No, not ideal.
Okay, we've avoided talking about the Texans for 9 minutes.
Did they play?
No, they didn't.
Well, they had a game. They played for two quarters. It's good.
Do you want to start or you want me to start?
Listen, I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
You said this last week, and I asked you, and I wanted an honest answer. How can they win this game? You said they had to run the ball successfully. And they didn't. They couldn't.
No.
And my the most unbelievable quote, probably not, I don't know if I've got a favorite quote from Bill O'Brien this week, but Bill O'Brien, like they asked him about David Johnson, and because David Johnson, how can we put this? He looked pretty solid week one.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, ooh. And then there was a little bit of, after DeAndre Hopkins did what he did. But there was still a little, ooh.
Man, it's like, maybe this guy still got it. Maybe this guy will be all right.
But now, the last 2 weeks, you're kind of seeing what would make Arizona want to get rid of this guy. And you're kind of seeing why his was widely regarded as the worst contract in the league. Because he's horrible. He's got no explosiveness. He doesn't hit the line hard. I mean, he's just a guy. It's like
you could hand the ball off to you or me, and we could do 1.9 yards a carry, which is what he did yesterday.
He's a replacement level back who's making premier elite running back money, and he's not that. So when that guy gives you 1.8 yards per carry and a long of 5 yards, it was going to be tough. And the only way they probably could have overcome it was if Deshaun totally balled out. And
well, and for the first half, he played as well as we've seen him play in a while.
And then I think he threw for about 30 yards in the second half.
And that's the thing. You can't and that was part of the article I wrote off the game was, you know, it's been 10 games where he's had one elite game. Well, make it 11 now. Because he wasn't good enough yesterday.
And not that this is on Deshaun, could not stop the run. Just could not. And it seemed the time of possession in the second half was just incredibly lopsided. Yeah. For the game, it was 37 minutes to 23 minutes. In the second half, I'm pretty sure it was like, maybe I'm wrong. I'd have to look it up exactly. I think it was like 24 minutes to 6 minutes in the second half. So just they couldn't hold the ball. It was three and outs. It was turnovers. It was an awful showing in the second half. And the Steelers had their way. And five more sacks on Deshaun.
Yeah. I think four of those specifically were on Deshaun and maybe the fifth. And I got to go back and watch one more time, but I was taking notes on him. And yeah.
Oh, well, let's get to our David Johnson quote. We've got to hear Bill's thoughts on David Johnson and his 1.8 yards per carry.
Is there anything that David Johnson could be doing differently to pick up some more yards now that you've had a chance to check it out?
No, there's nothing that David.
Right there. What? No? Is there something David Johnson could be doing better? No, there's nothing David can be doing better. It, more or less absurd than Tom Savage gives us the best chance to win over Deshaun Watson.
It's about the same. I think it's the same ballpark.
Wow. That's, you know, if he'd just come out and said, you know, David's frustrated too. You know, he wanted to come out here and prove everybody wrong. He's like a lot of us struggling right now. We're still hoping that he gets it turned around and he can start finding some success. But don't say, no, there's nothing he can be doing differently. How about running for more than 1.8 yards per carry? And I'll be honest, the offensive line that everyone thought was a surefire strength this year, you know, like, remember 3 years ago, the offensive line was the worst in the league, and now it's a strength. I got news. It ain't really a strength.
No, it's not, and they got dominated, especially in the run game. And this is not a defense of David Johnson. But I don't know if it's scheme, I don't know if it's a play calling, but almost every single run that they called, there was nowhere for him to go. And you know, I don't know that Adrian Peterson in his prime would have been able to do anything yesterday. And that's on the offensive line, that's on the play calling. And they just stubbornly kept trying. At some point, okay, I know I asked, this is too much to ask, AJ. Can't you throw a screen pass every now and then? If the running game's not working, get the guy the ball in space.
Well,
please.
I don't know if you remember this, but they threw a screen pass on the very first play of the game where somehow they said, okay, everybody got their man. Make sure, okay, TJ Watt, let's leave him totally untouched. And they hit that screen pass, Fred.
Well,
Deshaun
ate,
you know, piles of dirt.
Well, that was kind of a swing pass, but I mean, I don't get why they don't run plays that will be effective against the blitz. It'll slow the blitz down.
It's amazing, and I tweeted this last night watching the Saints-Packers game. Literally everyone knows that Drew Brees can't throw the ball down the field right now. And they're still hitting screen passes. There's no reason why the Texans shouldn't be able to do that.
Well,
with the threat of Deshaun Watson either running or throwing downfield, there's no reason. And part of it is I think these wide receivers just have no respect. Like, nobody's really getting great separation. There's nobody to win a 50-50 ball. Like, I'll go ahead and say it now affirmatively. Deshaun needs a DeAndre Hopkins type to really have success.
Well, I think that goes back to the bigger problem we talked about last week because he wasn't having a ton of success with him. And now without him, I don't know. I don't know that he's going to be successful. There's a lot more that I want to get on this, and it mostly involves O'Brien, whether it's O'Brien the GM or O'Brien the coach. But, yeah, he kind of got a little bit of a pass last week because we beat up on Deshaun. I'm going to beat up on both of them.
All right, away.
We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. I love the Age, which is an aging kit for your favorite booze. They've got something for everybody, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month, no matter what you're into. Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I'm looking forward to the Flip, a gorgeous folding knife made from Damascus steel. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Senio has played some with Max at left guard the past 2 weeks. What's kind of the thought process there behind just rotating?
Yeah, I think Sunil's playing good, you know, and I think Max is doing some good things, but I think Sunil's practicing well and playing pretty well. And I think Max is doing some good things. So we'll continue to look at that spot, but both guys are playing pretty good, and both guys, you know, sometimes, it's important to get some guys some reps in there that are doing some good things on the practice field. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that worked out really well. One of the things I wanted to get to, and we've got a few more things, because I'm an old man. I'm tired of sitting back and waiting for things to change with this team, because I always try to think the best of people, that, okay, maybe this guy can improve. Maybe he's got his own team now. You know, maybe that's what he needed. And nothing ever changes. And my biggest complaint all along has been, go out and get good coordinators. And because I heard Josh talking about that with Doug Peterson, and Frank Reich leaves, and guess what? My offense not very good anymore. Good coaches have great coordinators, man. That's so much of it. And they have really good position coaches. How does Mike Devlin still have a job? As much as you've given good him question. All these guys, and I've asked that question every year in the offseason, nothing happens. What did I say last year they should do? Go out and get me a veteran defensive coordinator. Go out and get me a veteran offensive coordinator. Somebody who brings something different. Guy who's had success in the league, been a head coach.
And they went good old boy network.
And they just went with his cronies. And I don't know that Anthony Weaver's doing a bad job. I look at that defense and I see no talent. I mean, I see basically Conference USA talent trying to play in the SEC. That's what I see with that defense. Because there are some times where they're in the right place. They're just not good enough to make the plays.
A little bit of breaking news. Doc Rivers out with the Clippers.
It's a little surprising timing-wise.
Kind of is. Yeah, but we'll see. I wanted to address something on Twitch from Assets 2020, who said, AJ, please explain how you can say he needs Hopkins for success when he looked good and then they stopped throwing the ball in the second half. Now, to that, I would say he looked good in the first half. It's not that they stopped throwing the ball in the second half. He stopped throwing the ball well in the second half. Now, mind you, this was in the second half, I want to say they ran something like 17 plays. This is what went out. David Johnson, so they get the ball back after the opening field goal of the second half for Pittsburgh, made it 21-20 Texans. Texans get the ball. David Johnson run. Deshaun pass, punt. So that's two runs. Deshaun runs, which was basically him scrambling around looking for someone, gave up, and then ran out of bounds. So I'm not going to say that they like that's a. I'm not even going to call it a run play. That was him trying to make something happen and he couldn't. David Johnson runs. That's three. Deshaun sacked.
On him, by the way.
That's on him. And then they punt. Next possession, David Johnson runs. That's four runs in the second half.
And that's too many, the way they're running the ball. But
well,
okay.
Here's the good news. That's the last one of the game.
Yeah.
And that came in the third quarter. Deshaun, pass. Deshaun, sack. Deshaun, incomplete. Deshaun, pat. That was the big pass to Cobb for 34 yards. That was a big play.
Which
big
was your second half offense right there.
That was pretty much the entirety of it. Deshaun to Brandon Cooks for negative 5 yards. That was sort of the shovel pass. Deshaun incomplete.
Where they ran right into TJ Watt.
Yeah, Deshaun interception. Deshaun sack. Deshaun incomplete. Deshaun pass for 16 yards. That was on 3rd and 21, of course. And then they punt, and that's the last time they had the ball. Four runs in the second half. They didn't stop throwing the ball. Deshaun just stopped throwing the ball effectively. He had one good pass the entire second half. So, not that the run game was going well in the second half either, but it wasn't that they went away from passing
right.
the ball.
He just quit being effective.
Yeah, the entire offense was garbage in the second half, which.
And
I mean, that's how
credit,
you end up with 0 points.
Credit to the Steelers, who made some adjustments and attacked that interior line, and the Texans never adjusted to that. So, and then there have been mixed reports. Earl Thomas is either working out for the Texans or signing with the Texans. According to Schefter, he's in Houston now, and signing this week is more likely than not. Before he signs, he has to first pass COVID protocols. So,
does he play offensive line?
No. Does he play receiver?
No.
Does he play quarterback?
No.
But, I mean, that it can't hurt the defense, certainly, to have Earl Thomas, even a diminished Earl Thomas. Because I guess A.J. Moore is on the DL. They also signed Corey Luggett, who used to be a good player.
Yeah, they've got a lot of those guys.
Yeah. So.
I don't know, man. And listen, you can say, well, they lost now to three teams that are undefeated. The only reason one of them is going to have a loss is because two of them play each other tonight.
Right.
So when
there's
they,
that.
The combined record of the teams that they've lost to is now 8-1. And I always say, well, the great equalizer is the spread. How are you doing against the spread?
0-3.
They're 0-3 against the spread. And anybody who thinks that there's a slam dunk home run win coming next week against the Vikings. Their opponents, also 8-1, undefeated Packers, one-loss Colts, undefeated Titans, and guess what? They're in these games.
Well, they weren't in the first two. They were in this one, though. They got their asses kicked the first two games, just like the Texans did. But they should have won this week.
They showed some fight, at least.
Yeah. No, not the first two. They didn't. They were pathetic. I mean, remember, Kirk Cousins, they threw for fewer yards than Stephon Diggs had last
that's
week.
True.
Yeah, they were terrible. But this week, they actually showed up and played.
Dalvin Cook. The best. You know what? Here's how the Texans win this week. If Dalvin Cook is hurt. I haven't heard the results of Dalvin Cook. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with him. If Dalvin Cook's hurt, I think the Texans should win this week. Dalvin Cook, who just ran for like, what was it, 181 yards. If he is on the field, the Texans aren't going to win. Hey, if they couldn't stop James Conner and, you know, randos that you've never heard of.
That's the thing there. If they can't, I mean, they've got to be able to. I mean, I guess if the only thing they can do is sell out and just hope Kirk Cousins beat you, which he won't. But
Anthony McFarland had 7 yards per carry. I think that's Booger McFarland's nephew. Yeah, they averaged 4.4 yards per carry. And a lot of it is they're just getting dominated up front. Now, mind you, the Steelers have a really good offensive line. They're going to dominate some
good,
guys up front.
And a really good defense. And they may be every bit as good on defense as the Ravens are.
The Vikings... not good in the trenches.
Right.
So this, I mean, maybe on both sides. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when who were they playing a couple weeks ago where you liked them and I didn't? Because the Colts. Because the Colts have they're dominant up front, dominant in the front offensive line and the defensive line. They push the Vikings around. The Vikings are weak in the trenches. That said, it's a battle of attrition because the Texans have shown me that they're not. I mean, they're the same.
Well, let's be honest. They're the same team as the Texans. They're both were supposed to be better than this. They both have had a tough schedule, and neither one of them has done anything against that schedule. And I think, in all fairness, other than the Packers, I don't put the Colts and the Titans on the level as the Chiefs and the Ravens.
No, they're not.
But this team is just—they're the Texans. The difference is they got a great running back and a bad quarterback. And the Texans right now have a very average to sometimes bad quarterback. So, yeah, would it surprise me if the Texans won? Absolutely not. But you think I'm putting any money on that?
Well, I will say this. It looks like the Vikings have found a receiver.
Yes, they have.
Justin Jefferson with a breakout day. So him and Thielen now, maybe you've got some sort of you've got a combo that you can work with there. Because obviously with that, the first couple weeks with no Diggs, and they were trying to find
right.
anybody else they could trust, and they couldn't until this week. Of course, they collapse, and it didn't. Nobody's talking about what a great day Justin Jefferson had, even though it was incredible. But here's the other thing: the Vikings defense was not horrendous in this game against the Titans. They kicked 6 field goals. Like they did a pretty. It was obviously bending. I don't know who I like in this game next week.
To me, they're the two most I guess slightly more disappointing than the Eagles, who managed to tie against the Bengals. But I mean, these are the two most disappointing teams in the NFL, in my opinion, and they're both.
I think that's probably fair.
And they're both crap. So I don't know.
Oh, Atlanta's in that combo, too.
We're going to talk about Atlanta
Although
later.
Atlanta,
at least, they at least were in the games.
Yeah, they get ahead.
They had to blow the games. All right. Well, the Vikings kind of blew it this week.
They did that this week, yeah.
Yeah.
The Texans had a halftime lead.
Texans did have a halftime lead.
They were dominant in the first half.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I think is most disappointing about this. They played about as well as you could expect them to play in the first half. And at no point did you feel like they were... I never felt like they were going to win that game. And
I didn't either.
The Steelers could have hung another 14 on them easy if they wanted to.
I'll be honest. The very first play of the game where T.J. Watt goes in untouched and just smacks Deshaun, I said, oh, God.
Great job blocking, boys.
I said, this is going
to be a... Great scheme there.
This is going to be a rough game for the Texans, and eventually that's what it turned into.
And let's not act like it was a close game. I mean, the Steelers did what they were supposed to. They made sure they hit the over. They made sure they covered the spread, and then they just took a knee there at the end, or they could have won by 2 touchdowns. And thank you for going over, by the way, Steelers, with that 2-point conversion. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number if you want to get in. So, yeah, we're aware of the Doc Rivers and Earl Thomas stuff. We talked about it last segment a little bit, so... Somebody asked, signing Earl Thomas is going to make a difference. I mean, it can't be any worse. I mean, they don't have talent on that defense. That's the problem. It's not just that, you know, they're up against good teams. They don't have enough. And if I'm them, yeah, I'm bringing in as many veterans as I can find off the street because they can't be any worse. And it's not all on the defense. I really believe that for the guys they had out there, they played as hard as they could. They're just not good enough. And in the second half, when your offense can't stay on the field, and this has happened to them now in 3 straight games, dudes are going to wear down. And that's how you win football games. You wear down defenses. That's why you see so many of these bleep shows late in games when both defenses are worn down and you hit these overs that you weren't expecting because everybody scores a bunch of points in the end. And, you know, this is where you have to, I don't know what you do at this point. And I think I'm so sick of seeing the same stuff every week. I'm sick of having to write the same damn column every week off of every game. And it's not going to change. And it doesn't matter if they rally and go to the playoffs somehow, or if they finish 6-10, they're not getting rid of this idiot. And they're going to use the whole COVID thing as an excuse, because guess what? By midseason, you'd see a lot of empty seats in a normal year. Well, now people are going to be just so excited to get any tickets, they're going to go. I don't think you're going to see the empty seats. And that's the only way to kind of let these guys know. And, you know, I know a lot of you guys didn't like Bob McNair, but this is what happened when you don't have him there anymore to oversee things. And instead you have a flatter organization, which means you're a cheap organization. So you turn all the power over to one guy, and apparently Jesus Easterby, so I guess one and a half guys, I don't know. And this is what you get, because there's no checks and balances. It's like you put a dictator in power. Hey, that's great. If the dictator is Saddam Hussein and can keep control for a bunch of years, all right. Bill O'Brien's not even Saddam Hussein.
Yep.
He's a dictator who's falling apart. So, I don't know, man. I'm just getting to where I don't care anymore. I just don't care about him anymore. They're never going to change, man. You know, and I don't want to be overtly negative, because yeah, they can come back from this, and the season is not started the way you wanted, and we've seen them come back before, but I just don't enjoy watching this football team. It's like watching James Harden now in the playoffs. That's what this is.
It's frustrating.
They've taken away the fun stuff that Deshaun did so that they could run the same stupid offense that he had under Tom Savage.
I think some of it's Deshaun too, because I've heard O'Brien say, listen, we had a lot of success when Deshaun was sort of freewheeling, which doesn't speak much to him as a coach.
Well, and that's the problem. You know?
They had zero designed runs for Deshaun. Zero. And I'm not saying he should be a guy who goes out there and runs the ball like Lamar Jackson, like 10 times a game.
No, but three or four runs? You had two or three unplanned and one or two planned?
Yep.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't see why that's not happening.
But it's not so much that. I think it's more, I mean, that's part of it, but I just think they don't put him in a good position with some of the play calls. And we saw it again in the second half. And it's the same thing we saw last week, where you're taking 7-yard drops with a blitz coming and there's no safety valve. Nowhere. Now, you watch the Steelers do that. And guess what? They've got a guy out in the flat. And when they were about to get to Roethlisberger, he dropped it off. Boom. You get 5 or 6 yards. Guess what? That keeps the chains moving. That keeps you ahead, instead of taking a sack and it's 2nd and 19. And those plays just don't exist in this offense. And if they do, they're not running them. And it's just, it's hard to watch, because, yeah, and obviously, again, this goes back to what I was talking about last week. Deshaun needs to be checking out of some of these, because you can't, like, we can all see it on TV. Hey, they're coming. There's 8 guys coming. You're going to take a 10-step drop. If your guy's not open right off the bat, what's going to happen? And I know he likes to extend plays, but at some point, extending the plays versus taking a sack, you've got to judge that. So, it's just, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the lack of creativity on offense. It's predictable. You know, and they look so good in the first half, but the whole time, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, all right, the Steelers are going to make some adjustments at halftime, and they're going to stop some of this, and then the Texans are going to be able to keep doing it. And that's what they have to be to win. They have to be what they were in the first half. We're not seeing that. So, I don't know, man.
Well, I've got an idea that this is, you know, you say I don't know. I think we do know. I think this is what it is, and it's, you were in this weird spot, because like with the Falcons, you can see what's about to happen. Like, Dan Quinn's just not long for this place.
They're going to clean house.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing has to go.
Whether it's this week or next week, it's coming soon though. Here, because I saw someone, it was Dave Esler from pregame on Twitter, posted who will be gone first, Bill O'Brien or Dan Quinn. And I was like,
Dan Quinn,
it's not even, it's not a discussion. It's really not. And I was like, the Texans are married to this guy right now, and they may be seeing some, they may be realizing that this isn't a great marriage for them. But hell, you know this, Fred. You can't just show up the first day you realize that your marriage isn't ideal and say, I want a divorce. It doesn't work that way. You've like there, it takes some planning.
But I mean, who realizes it? Do you really think Cal McNair realizes that this is a problem? Because I see nothing out of him that says, oh, you know what? We can't have this. He's the guy that gave him all the power.
That's true.
You know, he's the guy that brought in Jack Easterby, and those guys have all control over the entire organization now. He's the guy that gave them that. And I get it. When you make a mistake with a hire, it's a hard thing to say, you know what, I screwed up and I got to let this guy go because I've done it. And, you know, at some point when you, I mean, okay, fine. You've had 6 years. We're going to give you complete power. So you have to, you make all the decisions and there should be no excuses. Well, you made the decisions and you're worse. You're regressing. Your quarterback's regressing. Your coaching staff is below average. At some point, you know, that's where Cal McNair has to come in and say, dude,
yeah,
I got to get rid of all of you. We're starting from scratch, but it's not going to happen until the end of the season, if that. And I don't know what, I don't know that that's even going to happen, even if they go 5-11. So,
well, the press asked Dan Quinn during his post game, you know, hey, how often do you talk to
Arthur Blank?
How often do you talk to him? How often do you see him? What do you feel like about all the rumors surrounding you might be in jeopardy? He said, I see him every day. He comes into my office at least once a day, and we talk, and we figure stuff out. Do you have any faith that Cal McNair is talking to Bill O'Brien even once a week?
No. No, I don't see them, especially don't see them talking football.
No.
You know, Lamont says Bob McNair is basically better than Cal because he was more visible in front of the mic, but he didn't do anything spectacular, in my opinion. All due respect, Lamont, I was around the organization a lot for a lot of years while Bob was there, and Bob was very involved. And, you know, I don't know how involved Cal is because I'm not there right now. But I also know that he wasn't going to just give power to a guy like this. I mean, all the stuff that happened with O'Brien's happened since Bob passed away. So, you know, you can say stuff like that, but I'm telling you, man, the guy was, his whole thing was always get the best people and then give them the tools to do their job, but have checks and balances. I don't see that here. Do you see any checks or balance?
No.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Stars at Lightning.
What's the feel there?
At this point, I'm just kind of hoping the Stars win.
Not me.
They just haven't played enough. I think Tampa closes it out tonight. But that's also because I still have a live ticket on the Stars to win the whole thing.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so I'm kind of thinking that's pretty much dead.
I've been juggling so much play-by-play. It's out of control right now. A couple programming notes. We will probably get off to a late start tomorrow. The press box will be off a little early, and Josh Ennis won't be on tomorrow because we're going to have the Astros playoff game. So game one of Astros Twins tomorrow here on ESPN 97.5. And then Wednesday, we will end up, if there is a game 7 in the hockey will be on 92.5, and game 1 of the NBA finals will be on 97.5. And if there's no hockey, they'll both be on 97.5. Excuse me.
And 92.5 also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of balancing going on, and I'm having our traffic lady, God bless her. She's got to hate me, because now we're, we're logging, you know, traffic and not just commercial traffic, but like play by play and things like that. We're trying to get it figured out for two different stations now. And it's, there's challenges.
Yeah.
There's challenges for sure.
713-780-3776. But you know what? That's you're doing fine with it.
Well, I think we're doing fine.
Let's try Alfonso. What's up, man?
Well, gentlemen, it sounds like you guys are scheduling a lot of stuff this upcoming weekend, huh?
Yeah, I'm staying busy. What's up?
Well, I've been listening to you guys talk about the Houston Texans and sitting back for almost more than a decade or so watching this team. I have just had nothing but envy for them because I look around the league, and here's my two cents on this whole thing. I've seen too many teams have too many turnarounds so quickly within 4 or 5 years that we're still stagnant and still sitting in the same spot. And I've always said, you know, we're going to be doing nothing but wasting nothing but talent here. And I'm afraid J.J. Watt's going to be the latest one unless we trade him, which is crazy, but it might be true. But it's just, I've seen too many turnarounds happen. And I don't know what we're waiting for with O'Brien here. I mean, I'm not seeing the New England offense. I'm not seeing explosiveness. I'm not seeing aggressiveness. And I just don't get it. I said, you know, I know now I look back on Gary Kubiak and I said, well, at least he had a direction. Unfortunately, we didn't have a GM that worked with him. And here it's just, I don't think O'Brien has any clue what to do with Watson. I don't think he has an idea how to deal with a mobile quarterback. The only best example I could give is when a coach had to put down what he is good at and look at what the positives were, was when Colin Kaepernick had Harbaugh. Harbaugh had to examine, look at him and say, well, he runs as well he throws.
Well, so that I think we also need to realize that, it again, like we talked about a lot last week, there's as much to be put on Deshaun Watson as there is Bill O'Brien. Okay, especially with the groceries that Deshaun Watson has right now. I mean, it's like I get that Bill O'Brien's his taken away from him, but I heard so many people say Deshaun, this is his opportunity because now he's going to be able to spread the ball around. He's going to be even better. He was
well, and like, you know what? In the first half, he did. They had like six, seven different guys had catches.
Has anyone ever said, "Oh, you know what? I'm tired of playing in this offense where I've got one of the best receivers in the league. I feel like I've always got to give him the ball."
But I'm going to point it back to coaching because, frankly, look at what Arizona's doing with DeAndre. I mean, he's going to have the best year of his career there. And it's not because of Kyler Murray's better than Deshaun Watson. So if you're not using that weapon the way you should have, that's on Bill O'Brien too.
Yeah.
I'm done defending Bill O'Brien for anything. And
well, he doesn't deserve defending.
No, but I mean, I think last week we all kind of beat up on Deshaun a little bit fairly, but we also ignored the fact that O'Brien is part of the problem. He's the number one problem, and he's making Deshaun part of the problem too. And Deshaun's a number two problem now. Actually, no, it's Bob the coach, Bob the GM, then Deshaun. Try Chad real quick. What's up, Chad?
Hey guys, real quick. I kind of want to shift the conversation off of Brian and pit it more on Cal McNair here. I was born and raised here. I've been here my whole life. I've watched the Oilers onto the Texans. And I think O'Brien, listen, it's a multi-year, just mess up, awful situation that is beyond anybody's reason on why it's allowed to go this long. But my real question comes into the bigger issue here is McNair. I mean, this guy is bordering on gross incompetence right now, with his inability to see what was going on with his franchise and write his mistake and let this guy go. I mean, it is beyond issue here. And what really scares me is if this guy is just incompetent and can't see this, we might be stuck with one of the worst owners in football here for God knows how long. He's not going to sell. And it's almost like his dad left him this shiny new toy. And this guy has no interest in it.
Well,
I mean, I cannot imagine taking possession of this franchise and allowing it to turn into what it's turning into under his watch. The guy doesn't do media. Nobody knows how he feels or what he thinks. The only time he's getting the insight is behind some, you know, polished up press piece coming out of their PR department. And for everything that's wrong with O'Brien, it's more wrong with McNair. He's the one that allows this to go on. And I think the media...
Let me stop you for a second. Here's the thing about McNair. McNair's job is to make money. And as long as you suckers keep showing up on this season tickets waiting list and y'all are all, everybody wants to show, like y'all are all crying, we can't be in the tailgate, we can't be out. Why would he change anything? He's making money. That's his job. Football stuff is not Cal McNair's job. That's not his job.
And I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares.
As long as he's making money, he doesn't
care.
And
I can't really be that mad at him about it because it's not like, now, if he were one of these guys, like some sort of a penny pincher who was, you know, you guys are going to have the lowest payroll in the league and we're here to make a profit. That's a different thing. The Texans aren't that. The Texans,
they're spending money.
Yeah,
they're spending bad money.
At some point, it's on these guys that are doing it. But if they're spending money and Cal's still making money, and Cal probably looks at it and says, man, this is Bill O'Brien's 6 years he's been with us. We've had a losing record once. Damn, that's pretty good. I'll take that. I mean, think about that. Like before Bill O'Brien, the Texans had what, 2 playoff appearances in their history? Is that right or wrong?
No, I think that's correct.
They were,
and then they had the 2-14 year where
the second. It was not Kubiak's last year, but the two right before it were their first 2 ever playoff appearances. So in the first 10-11 years of the franchise, you've got 2 playoff appearances. In the last 6, you've got 4. In his mind,
yeah,
things are going well. He's making money. The team is having, at least for them, success. This is O'Brien. And you can say, well, it's Cal's decision to keep him or not. For Cal's purposes, the purposes of making money, Bill O'Brien's doing a fine job. Don't be mad at Cal. He's given this team everything they need to win. Bill O'Brien is just, he's for a guy who's made the playoffs 4 times in 6 years, he's about the most inept dude you could find.
Can I give you a text that just made me throw up in my mouth?
Sure.
Thoughts is Josh McDaniels is a head coach to the Texans. Are you bleeping kidding me?
I would rather Doc Rivers coach the Texans than Josh McDaniels.
Dude, you really want another Patriot? No. Please. Don't ever even think that. That's a grosser thought than Bill O'Brien. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.